That was Stornoway there with their attempt at recording our introduction to the Cooperative Cambridge Folk Festival podcast, day two. On today's podcast, I catch up with Lissy, Stornoway, and Port Isaac's Fisherman's Friends. I also attempt to find the Tree of Lost Things and also find out about the festival's newest and smallest stage.
Hi. Hi there, we're Stornoway and we're from Oxford. You might like to describe our music in five words as crockery-obsessed, navel-gazing folk.
No, you've been going for several years now, but it's only the last sort of 18 months, 2 years, that it's all been really building for you. What do you think's changed in the last couple of years, which has, you know, suddenly brought this mass acceptance of your music that wasn't there beforehand?
Bribery.
Simple as that.
There was a little bit of that in Stornoway when we visited our namesake and bribed the locals there with whiskey to like us and to accept us. But that hasn't been the tool that we've used all along. Basically have worked very hard, and the kind of big change has not been through anything different that we've done. It's just been through crossing a tiny threshold where suddenly we found ourselves on a playlist here or on a Jules Holland show there, and so suddenly, you know, the public outside of Oxford, where we've been sort of really focusing our hard work in the first place, they've heard about us too, and that's what has made all the difference, really.
How was your trip to Stornoway? Because it took you a few years before you actually visited your namesake.
It was fantastic. I almost got caught and jailed for having a beer out on the streets on the Sabbath, because they're very Christian up there.
Really?
But they, on every date on that tour, we got given a different whiskey, a local whiskey. And the best one came from Fort William. The second best one was from Stornoway. And then we found two musical instruments on the beach in Stornoway, and we now use them.
So the collection of instruments is expanding. I mean, according to your biography in the Folk Festival programme, you're quite used to using a variety of tools for instruments, whether it be cutlery or whatever. Is this true?
Well, yeah. We often do, like, anyone will learn a new instrument for when we're writing a new song, just to see how it sounds. And so constantly collecting instruments, and John's living room is sort of overrun with bits and bobs, like recorders and triangles and drum kits and cellos and mandolins and stuff. But the instruments Ollie was referring to on the beach in Stornoway are two buoys that you find in the ocean. And they make quite sort of machine-like sounds. They kind of ping and resonate, and so I hit those a few times in a song.
So have you gone all the way and actually put in microphones inside the boy so you can get a good sound?
Just over, but I dropped one of them recently and it cracked and actually completely changed its sound for the better.
Okay.
But so they're quite interesting. Little. Yeah, just needs to throw them at John a lot more often. Yeah.
This is your first folk festival at Cambridge, is that right?
Yep. I think it's our first folk festival, actually. So, yeah, but definitely the first one in Cambridge.
How does the crowd differ from the traditional festivals that you've been to over the last few years?
Haven't really experienced them yet, but, we've noticed a few more beards and very relaxed, actually, just lying on the grass. Yeah.
Maybe too relaxed. Are you going to get them going this evening for your performance? You're headlining.
Well,
hoping that Lissy will have them going already, because she's playing right before us, and she's quite kind of energetic, I think. And maybe we'll come on to, like, a cool energy there, positive vibes.
So let her do all the work.
Yeah, and then we can kind of cool it down a bit, so let people decide for themselves.
Is there anyone on the lineup that you'd like to watch? Unfortunately, you're going to miss
the Imagine Village.
Why?
They're just amazing. They're just they incorporate lots of different types of music, and they're very good to watch as well. Because, well, particularly the cellist, he's very inspirational for me. As I'm a bit of a rubbish cellist, but I find it very inspiring to watch. He's called Barney. It's just very good. But yeah, they're a massive collective, different types, and they change their lineup pretty much every show. But Martin Carthy and Eliza Carthy are sort of involved in it. But
going back to the name Stornoway, do you get any funding from the Stornoway Tourist Information Board for the support you're doing for their island?
They don't even give us their Twitter account. They've already taken it and they won't let us have it.
How rude. Yeah. I mean, like they use it a lot.
Yeah, well, they've done about two tweets since 2007.
And one of those was about you turning up, yeah?
No, nothing about us. They get really angry because Google turns us up in the search results over them. Don't get any support from them.
So if people want to follow you on Twitter, where would they go?
At Stornoway.
Okay. It's kind of meant to be a secret, really. It's one of the songs off our old EP called Letters from Lewis. And it's the fourth track on that EP.
Thank you very much.
Who let Jamie with a hammer?
I don't believe you, the tree's over there. I've been told by Kath it's over there.
Are you the person looking for the tree?
I'm looking for the tree of lost things, yeah.
It's the tree at the entrance where it says.
Well, Kath says it's over there, in the wilderness area. She's leading me up the garden path.
Okay. It might be in the wilderness area, but it's one of the message trees somewhere.
Yesterday when I walked through the Cherry Hinton campsite, there was just the one lonely little tent, but today there's dozens and dozens as the folk festival village springs up for 3 days every year. I come to the edge of the Cherry Hinton camping area and cross over the bridge where the duck pond lies. There's plenty of wildlife this year, as I can see geese, swans, ducks, moorhens, plenty, and there's a squirrel just running up the tree to my left. As I go into the wilderness area, before me I can see a tree, and hanging from this tree are dozens and dozens of luggage labels. I think I found the tree of lost things.
Hello.
Hello. I found the tree of lost things.
Found the tree of lost things. Well done.
I keep walking around going, where's the tree of lost things? People think it's at the front of the festival.
It's by the duck pond.
I know. I'm here.
I'm Kirsty Harris, and I'm a theatre maker and designer.
So what made you come up with the idea for the tree of lost things?
I was working with a performance artist called Ellie Dubois last year, or maybe a year and a half ago, and she had just created the show that was to do with tying luggage labels onto a tree with pieces of knowledge on them, because she, at the time, she was 18 and was kind of asking for knowledge from people to, in order to kind of go into the world and become sort of a better adult. And we wanted to make a piece of work, for an outdoor piece of work, an outdoor installation, thinking about festival summers. And yeah, we were thinking about what people maybe appreciate adding to a tree, what would people appreciate letting go of, and what, how could that be expanded, and how many stories could we get out of that? And the thing with the labels is you can write one word and there can be so much behind that, and that's really interesting. You know, you write one name on the tree and you go, God, who was that person? How have they lost them? Are they dead? Did they move away? Did they break up with them? You know, all of these questions, and it just becomes this repository of loss but also story. And we're really interested in other people's stories, and that's what it is, isn't it? And it hands it over to everyone else. We're doing very little, other than just kind of being the curators and the collectors, and really it's everyone else's work that we've got here, which is really lovely.
Yeah, it's been really quiet though so far today, but I think it's, you know, first day, everyone's still setting up camp, we're a bit hidden away, which is quite different actually, because where we've done it before it's been like really busy, you know. But it's quite nice though, we're getting sort of dribs and drabs, and it gives us more chance to talk to people as well, which has been really nice, especially when we're filling out the ledger of lost things.
What's this ledger? It's literally a massive ledger of things that have been lost.
Oh yeah, it is. This is the ledger of lost things.
Is it leather? It's a leather-bound A3 book. This is great.
And this is where we, because a lot of the time people can write a label
tie it to the tree and go away, and they cannot talk to anyone about what they've written. Whereas this, if they want to, gives people a chance to kind of talk a bit about what they've written, and especially with things that are slightly, you know, they're weightier, then it's quite cathartic to just talk to someone.
Some good ones so far. We had a nice collection of kids a minute ago writing down things like the toys that they lost, and then one of them ran back, said, "My mum just asked me to write something." And then we saw her with the label write out, "My will to live." And then the kid like tied up.
How did your mum say that? She's like, "Yeah." Yeah.
Tying up on behalf of her mother. I was like, "Did you have anything to do with that feeling from your mother?" "No, not at all."
Yeah.
It's just we're just being us. So that was a good one.
So you're a regular festival goer to the Folk Festival.
Well, I've been twice. Anne hasn't been before, so it's her first trip, and we were looking forward tonight to seeing Lissy. Don't know whether we're going to get into the tent or not, but that's another.
It's looking pretty still. Packed over at stage two.
Yeah, we're going to have a bit of a jam to get through, and tomorrow I think Seasick Steve's going to be a bit of a treat, and Joe Pug is somebody I've only really ever heard once or twice, looking forward to seeing him. And the whole weekend, I think, is just going to be a bit of a treat.
Do you think the lineup's as strong as previous years?
I think it's different. Last year, for example, I think there was probably a broader spectrum. And this year, maybe a little bit different. Not necessarily any worse or any better, but certainly different. Chris Christopherson will be an interesting headline on Sunday night. And I think that'll draw a lot of people.
Do you think that the broadness of the Folk Festival keeps it fresh and keeps people wanting to come back, so it doesn't become stale like other festivals have been perceived?
I think it does. People have an expectation, I suppose, from year to year, and a little bit of a surprise or even a shock does them no harm. It kind of keeps the interest there and makes people watch the website for next year to see what's going to be on. And I think people just book the tickets anyway, no matter what's going to happen or who's going to be there.
Because of the vibe and the atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere's great, and hopefully the weather will stick well. That'll make a big difference.
Touch wood, I can't guarantee the weather, I'm afraid.
No, you can't guarantee it, but it's looking good so far, I think. Hope for the best.
So as this is your first Folk Festival, what's your first impressions?
It's very fun. I liked all the tents, so I really wish now I was in a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really sorry we didn't bring a tent.
So are you staying in a hotel locally then?
Yeah, it's a bit boring really, but
if you like a shower, it's always good.
Yeah. No, first time here, I'm just really, the minute I've sent to William, just I feel my senses are being bombarded at the minute. I'm just sort of scanning it and taking it all in and watching people, and really a wide, wide variety of people. You know, it's interesting how many different types of people it draws in.
Any artist in particular that you want to catch this weekend?
Yeah, Seth Lickman and Sharon Shannon. I'm kind of disappointed that the Dixie Chicks aren't here, and that even though they've disbanded and they're not touring anymore, which is really gutting, and obviously Steve Earle's not here, which is a real shame as well. I missed him last year. He was here, I think, last year.
Yeah, I think he was, actually.
Yeah. But a lot of these people I've never heard before, so it'll be all new, so it'll be really interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
Port Isaac's Fisherman's Friends are making their Folk Festival debut tonight on Stage 2. I met Trevor and John from the band in their dressing room and started off by asking them how they are coping with their new fame and media attention.
I think some probably taking it better than others, I think. Some people take it in their stride and nothing changes, but others, you know, one or two getting a bit excited about it and need calming down when they're performing a little bit sometimes. They kind of get out of hand, but in general, I think, you know, we're doing very well. Because it's only been 6 months since it's really taken off, so it's a big learning curve for us.
Yeah.
Because you're still working as well as doing all these tours and events,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, the day jobs have still got to go on. You know, we're not getting carried away with it. We're old enough to realise that, you know, this is not a life for us because we're just too old. But we just carry on with the day jobs because that's, you know, what we're all about. We've all done it since we left school, really. So nothing's changed on that front.
I've never been to Port Isaac. But as a potential tourist, how would you describe the area for me?
Quaint. I would say Port Isaac's a quaint little fishing village. Still not unspoilt, you know, still pretty like it used to be. And a very nice place to go, and lots of places around the area to see as well. Plenty to do.
Fantastic coastline as well. If you like rugged. Walking, rugged, nice walking, fantastic place to be.
Is there anything you miss from Port Isaac? Any sort of local delicacies that you wish you could take with you wherever you go?
Probably the beer, actually, I think, more than anything. Yeah, yeah, our own beer. I think we're sampling one or two different flavours up here, but this isn't bad stuff we're drinking here. We're drinking Cambridge festival beer, so it isn't too bad. It's drinkable.
What would you do to improve the beer here?
That's quite a good question, actually. I don't know. Drink more, I think.
Okay.
Probably do better to taste it.
What makes a good beer, then?
Flavour, I think, is the key for me.
Yeah.
Flavour, not too gassy.
Nice. Hoppy, not too gassy. We like real ale. Or we do, especially. We like the real ale. We're not too much gas on. Just pulling it out the barrel rather than pumped out with gas. So,
you can't sing on gas, though, can you?
No, that's right.
There's too much gas and you're just burping all the time you're singing.
Is there one artist or group that you've seen in the last few months on your travels which you have been blown away by and you thought are fantastic and you'd love to see again or even work with in the future?
Yeah, I've seen a couple. I went to, I know it's not somewhere we've played, but I went to the Eden sessions down in the domes down in St Austell, and I saw Mumford & Sons, which were fantastic, and also Paolo Nutini, and he is unbelievable. I was just completely gobsmacked by him. Brilliant. I wish we could play with any of those. It wouldn't matter.
You never know. Very soon, perhaps.
Well, no, yeah, Mumford's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic, yeah. And they're on the same label as us as well, so...
Ah, so you've got a bit of a link there, yeah.
There is a bit of a link, so we're hoping that maybe something might come along with that, really.
Fantastic. Who's the diva, then, out of the group? Who's the one that pulls the most strops and throws chairs around the dressing room?
I think it's a toss-up between two, maybe.
Okay.
One sat fairly close to me now, actually, and the other one's outside, so I shan't mention no names, but one knows who he is anyway.
Of course. And finally, do you want to just tell us about your album and how people can get hold of it?
Yeah, you can buy our album. Well, you can download it, buy it from Amazon. Most retail stores, or you can buy it here at the festival.
QVC.
Anywhere you like. It's on sale everywhere.
Yeah. It's on QVC?
Yeah.
We were on there this morning.
But you guys were on there talking about it.
No, we were performing on QVC last night at 1 o'clock in the morning and this morning at 7. And we sold over 2,000 albums in those couple of 15-minute slots.
You're kidding.
No. Unbelievable. Couldn't believe it. They actually allocated 2,000 albums. Universal sent down 2,000 albums and they actually sold out. So now they're pre-ordering so they can be sent down.
That's great. I never realised you could sell music on QVC.
No, we didn't. We were just asked on the off chance, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was strange, but fantastic.
Gents, that's a great story. Well, I wish you all the best for your festival weekend, and I'm going to watch QVC more often now.
No, you're not that sad, OC.
Lissy is split between the UK and the US. Just before her set this evening, I caught up with her and asked her what really feels like home.
Well, the US feels like home, but even California doesn't feel like home. I'm from Illinois. Illinois feels like home, but I don't know that I could live there. So, I think home is sort of where your family is and the people you love are. And then kind of second to that is where your things are.
Yeah.
All my stuff is in California. but I feel very at home here. I mean, it is a home away from home. I used to come over here by myself and I would get a bit lonely and I didn't really know anyone, but now we're here so much, I've made a lot of friends and, my band and I have a good time and you just get used to all the little things that are different. At first you're like, oh, that's strange, or things you say that are different, but now I find myself starting to say them.
Pronunciations and different words.
Just words for stuff, yeah, I still say sidewalk, but if I'm talking to an English person, I might just say pavement,
yeah.
Just to spare myself the ha ha ha, you call it a sidewalk, or... just different things. We were talking to our drummer who's English, and we introduced him to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and he didn't know what jelly was. It's jam.
Is it?
It's jam. And you think jelly's jello, but it's not. It's jelly is jam.
Jelly's jam?
Jam and jelly are pretty much the same thing in our mind.
Okay.
And jello is a completely different thing. It's that, kind of bouncy gelatinous thing.
Which is what we call jelly.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, yeah. Right. I see where the confusion
is. Yeah. Little things like that it used to be I used to realize it more. I feel like now I don't necessarily even pick up on people's accents at first, and I can tell when they're from different parts of England. You kind of just feel like or I know what people are talking about when they make references to things that are very English. You know, that's how you start to feel at home in a place. But, you know, of course, the U.S. is where I feel at most at home, because that's just, you know, my upbringing and life.
Yeah. One last thing, so you can please go and eat, is over the weekend, is there anyone in particular that you would have liked to have seen, which you unfortunately are going to miss?
I mean, really, usually it's just nice to walk around and find new bands. But the people I recognize are C6 Steve and Joe Pug, mostly. But I like to just find new people to see.
Have you found anyone?
Oh, Imelda May. I heard her on the radio. I like her. She's
pretty cool. She played last year on her own, and she's playing with an Irish folk singer this year. And she's a bit more rockabilly.
Yeah, I heard this real rockabilly sound thing on the radio. I really liked it. And she sounded like a nice girl in the interview. So.
Yeah, rockabilly seems to be quite cool at the moment. It seems to be, you know.
Yeah.
Lizzie, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I hope
thank you.
Have a good performance tonight. And
yeah.
Do come back soon.
I
spend
will.
The whole weekend at the festival.
Okay, I will. Have a fun weekend.
So, Ben, what's going on here?
Well, as you can hear, it's boogie-woogie time in the main bar here at Cambridge Folk Festival. Basically, they set up a piano and put a sign above it saying, play me, and they gave me a ticket, or two tickets, actually, for the weekend so that I could... And the idea was just that I come and kick things off, play a few bits of boogie-woogie or whatever, and see what happens. And as you can hear, mayhem has followed, and people are coming and playing the piano, and like the good old days when there's always somebody in the family who used to play. Remember those?
Just about. So how many songs did it take for you to play before people started doing it themselves?
It sounds awfully conceited, but pretty much the first song people started to gather around, which kind of shows you the interest there is in sort of pianos, I think. And straight away, this young man came up and we did a little duet, and now he's having his little spot, his little time in the sun.
You just played some boogie-woogie. It's not very folk-like.
It's all folk music. It is, really. I mean, boogie-woogie comes from poor black guys in New Orleans or whatever. It's just their folk music, you know. It became commercialized. It became rock and roll, really, and that's what this turned into. But many years ago, it was a form of folk music. It's the first one I've been to, and I think it'll be the first of many. It's a very civilized festival, it seems to me, for people of a certain age, like myself.
Ben Pringle, thanks very much. Enjoy the festival.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Day one draws to a close here at the Folk Festival. The cloud which covered the site this morning has now broken, and pretty skies cover the site with a slightly pinky, reddy sunset. Join me tomorrow for more interviews with performers at the Folk Festival, some of the workers, and more from the festival goers. Thanks for listening.